I'm going to read out of Revelation 7. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, of which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I love it. I love this promise that we one day will get to experience a place where there's no need for pain, there's no need for tears, there is no death, it's been wiped away. And the thing with the book of Revelation is that as we look around, as you guys can see around the room, we have these almost bloody displays all around. We have this cross that was the murder weapon of our God. And we have a representation of how he was put to death with the crown of thorns and the nails. And then we have this representation of his broken body and the blood, that juice that represents his blood. And all around us is this display. And it looks graphic. And it looks almost kind of morbid at times. And the thing with the book of Revelation is a lot of times the people begin to take on the idea that that's really what the whole thing is all about. It's all about God's judgment and all about why, how God wants to just judge us for our sin. And a lot of the world would reject the book of Revelation. Although that's the God that they really see, is a God who hates them and a God who wants nothing but evil and destruction for them. But I'm here to tell you guys tonight that the God that we serve and the God that we sing about tonight is a far different God from that. Because the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 says that God desires that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me repeat that. All should come to repentance. And if you don't believe that, the story of God's redemption has been going since the beginning of mankind. Takes us all the way back to the beginning, the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 were perfect. Chapter 3, sin hit. Of course, we know the story. God comes down to walk with Adam in the cool of the garden, and yet something's different that day. And he finds Adam, and he immediately seeks out the source of the sin. And speaking to the serpent, which is Satan, there in the garden, referring to the now coming Messiah who would fix the problem that Satan had created, he said, "You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head." And from the very, very beginning, God did not panic. He had a plan. And he set it out from Genesis chapter 3 to fix the problem that we had created for ourselves. Romans chapter 1 tells us that because of creation, we are without excuse. There is no way that any of us could say that there's not a God simply by looking around. Of course, many in our world say that there is not a God, even while analyzing science. But he said, because of creation, because I have so evidently put my fingerprint on everything that's here, you're without an excuse. He could have right there drawn the line and said, anyone who has not accepted me because of creation, that's it. But you know what I love about God is that he pursues us. And all of us here tonight are pursuing something. Maybe it's something godly. Maybe it's something worldly. Maybe it's something like a job. Maybe it's a guy or a girl or a relationship in general. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe tonight it's Jesus. I hope that it is. But whoever and whatever it is, Jesus is pursuing you. and he has been since the beginning, since he promised that coming Messiah. And so he told us, you are without an excuse because of creation, but I'll give you a little bit more. And so God then, we have the Old Testament. And of course, most of that is filled with things that point ahead to the coming Messiah. The whole book of Leviticus, it's a hard, bloody book to read, all about sacrifices. But wasn't that a perfect picture of what was to come? And eventually the Bible would tell us that the blood of goats and lambs could nowhere come close to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so it all pointed to Jesus. And we have the Old Testament, all these prophets who came to the people and said, the Messiah is coming. And for years, for hundreds and thousands of years, God promised, trust in me, I have a plan. And a lot of people still rejected him. In between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have a blank page. You probably have it in your Bible. It's a blank page because the people pushed God out of their lives. And when that happens, God stops talking. He's not going to barge into our lives, but he's still pursuing us. And so finally, even though creation was enough right there, he could have stopped. Even though he added to that and gave us the prophets and told us that he was in charge and made it very clear, that would have been enough. We should have just trusted him. But it wasn't enough for God. And that's the story of the cross. Because Jesus, the New Testament opens up with the story of Jesus. This is God in human flesh. This is he who humbled himself and became like us, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Just creation wasn't enough for God. Just the prophets weren't enough for the Lord. He sent his only son to die for us. And of course, as you continue through the New Testament, you read about all of the things that Jesus did and the power of his death and resurrection. You get to the book of Revelation, and many people believe that all it is about God's judgment. Well, I love Revelation because there are pauses in the middle of God's judgment that remind me again that God is still pursuing his people. And the verses that I read out of Revelation 7 are proof of that. Here stands a multitude that it says could not be numbered of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. This is the result of God pursuing them. By the time the tribulation begins, all of those people should be immediately wiped out. They've had too many chances. But yet God is still pursuing them. And right before those verses that I read, we read about this evangelism group that's sent out by God, 144,000 chosen men to go out and to proclaim the gospel. That wasn't even enough. Later on, we read about two witnesses that Jesus empowers for 3.5 years on the earth to minister and to proclaim the truth. That wasn't even enough. Because by the end of the book of Revelation, we have God going to all lengths, and he sent an angel to fly around in the sky and simply preach the gospel in every language that's on the earth. By the end of the book of Revelation, there is absolutely no excuse for us not to be reconciled with our Savior. And yet, people will still reject. And so tonight, the thought that's just been flowing through my mind is that God is pursuing us. And we see that story throughout the Bible. But of course, tonight, although the book of Revelation looks ahead, tonight, we want to focus right now. What is God doing right now? What has he done for us? We know what he will do for us, but what has he done for us? Tonight, you need to remember that the shadow of the cross falls across all of history. It is the redemptive story of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to be one of us, to reconcile us to him. No matter who we are or what we've done, Jesus paid the price for it. And if you think you're unforgivable, you're wrong. You're fooling yourself because God is capable, because of the cross, of forgiving anyone. And Jesus tonight wants you to know that. Jesus tonight, I believe, is pursuing you right where you are. In whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, whether it's painful, it doesn't matter. He's here. He wants to speak to you. And so tonight we have a visual representation of that. We have the opportunity to take communion. It's something simple. Just a little loaf of bread, just a little grape juice, no big deal. But it's the symbolism that's behind it. That broken bread reminds us that God became one of us and he broke his body for us. That juice reminds us that he didn't just have a broken body, but he bled and he bore our sins. And I think the thing that sums it all up for me is when I'm just reminded that God no longer, because of the cross, God no longer is a God that's far away and disconnected from what we go through. So many people think that about God. He doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't feel my pain. But that's what the cross did for us. Because no longer does God sit in heaven, arms folded, disconnected from us, and from heaven look down from his throne, surrounded by angels, and say, it looks really hard on earth. Wow, you're going through a lot. It looks challenging to follow me. He says, I know. It's no longer it looks like it. He says, I know what you're going through. And these people in Revelation 7 are the result of that. These are the people who, although they faced it on the earth, will have every tear wiped away. Will have no need for hunger or thirst. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. And tonight, I pray that we would reflect on the cross. We would reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And that we would honor our Savior when we come down and we take of this bread and this juice. When you guys are ready, we have the rest of the night, about 45 more minutes, to just, when you guys are ready and when you've spent time thanking the Lord for the cross and preparing your heart, then I challenge you to come up here to these tables. You just need to take one little piece of bread, dip it in that juice, remind yourself that you should have died that death. But because God loves you and pursues you and has an undying, unquenchable love for you, he died that death that we all deserve. Let's pray and we'll continue in worship. Jesus, we thank you tonight for the story of the cross, for the story of redemption, for the shadow of the cross that falls across all of history. We thank you, Lord, that in reality, the pages of your word are dripping with your blood, because we know without your death, sin still has a sting. Death still has authority. But God, now, because of your death, because you sent Jesus, we can ask sin, where's your sting? Death, where's your victory? It's been swallowed up by life, by the death and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, tonight, we remember what you've done for us. We recognize our need for you. We repent. God, I pray that you'd grab our hearts. And if there's something we're pursuing besides you, Jesus, tonight, change that and remind us that our pursuits in life always have to be centered on you. You, after all, have pursued us. In your name we pray, amen. Let's worship.